بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنذيقنهم من العذاب الأدنى دون العذاب الأكبر لعلهم يرجعون ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه ثم أعرض عنها إنا من المجرمين منتقمون. What has inspired me to speak about this subject tonight is what is going to happen in this moment or in the next few moments or hours probably in the state of Florida. The hurricane, the powerful hurricane that will strike the eastern part of Florida in a few more hours. And as you may have heard probably in the news, over 2.5 million people have been evacuated from their homes. Many of them chose to travel out of state, including my nephew, Sayyid Jawad. Many who had shelters some other places traveled there. And it says it is the most powerful. I was watching CNN this afternoon. It says that it is the most powerful hurricane in the history of the state of Florida, and it could be the most catastrophic hurricane that ever hit this state. Now, we would like to touch upon this subject for an Islamic point of view, religious, spiritual point of view. The phenomena of hurricanes throughout the history and their implications on the human history. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a few verses mentioned that He destroyed certain ancient people with hurricanes. And in this particular ayah that I initiated my lecture with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And most certainly, we will make them taste of the nearer chastisement before the greater chastisement, that haply they may turn. Allah says, I will make them taste my chastisement in this life before hereafter. Of course, Allah is warning the deviants in this ayah that don't wait till hereafter. I'm coming to you in this life. You will taste my wrath and my torment in this life before hereafter. But this is a small one compared to the big one. Whatever you get here, it is nothing compared to what you get there. Now the question is, why Allah even tortures some people? Why the need for torment? We know Allah is the most merciful, most the beneficent, the most merciful. Why He would even send His wrath to people whom He has created. Why is that? No doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so wise. And when He does so, He is pursuing a wisdom behind that. Allah is not eager to torture people. What Allah does when He tortures some people, He is teaching us a lesson and teaching them a lesson. And this is how Allah's justice works. Let me give you an example. So we comprehend Allah's justice through His torment. Moses was traveling one day. And, you know, Moses had a privilege over other prophets, that he used to directly speak to Allah without any mediator. Who is the mediator? Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah sends Jibreel to any prophet, and Allah communicates to His prophet through that angel Gabriel. With Moses had the privilege of communicating with Allah directly sometimes, and sometimes through Jibreel. Now, when we say he communicates with Allah, Allah doesn't have a physical body. Allah creates a voice, as He did when the tree, when there was a sound coming out of the tree in the Mount Sinai. When Moses was traveling through the desert from Midian to Egypt, he heard the sound coming from a tree. When he got near the tree, he heard the tree, a sound coming out of the tree saying, Inni an Allah, I am Allah. So, in reality, Allah create a sound. It is not His physical voice, because Allah has no voice. Allah doesn't have a physical body to make a sound. So, Allah doesn't have a vocal cord. Allah doesn't have vocal cords to make any sound. Allah creates sound through an object, and that object sometime was a tree, and sometime could be something else. So Musa says to Allah, Ya Allah, show me Your wisdom and Your justice. Your wisdom and Your justice. Allah says to Moses, go and sit on a top of mountain, a specific mountain, and just look beneath yourself. Just look beneath. So Moses comes and sits on the mountain, and he looks beneath himself. There is a river flowing in the valley. And a man, a knight, comes, approaches the river. He was so tired, so exhausted for traveling throughout the night. He gets off his horse. He comes in the river. He drinks. He swims in the river. And he forgets his belt. In the past, people used to wear a belt, a wide belt. Same thing you see Hajjaj, pilgrims wear when they go to Hajj. It is a belt, yet it is a wallet in which people put their money and cash. So he pulls his belt off, he puts it on the bank of the river, he swims. When he gets out of the river, he takes off, he forgets his belt there. After a few moments, a shepherd comes. He brings his herd. And after a few moments, he departs. But as he was departing, he finds the belt. He opens the belt, and there is 400 dinars in the belt. So he takes it, and he leaves. Now, Musa alayhi salam is overlooking all those scenes, one scenario after another. This is the second scene. The first scene was the scene of a knight entering the river. The second scene was the scene of a shepherd entering the river with his herd. When the shepherd takes off, an elderly man comes so exhausted for working the whole day. He comes to the river to drink. By the time the elderly man comes, the knight returns back. And he asks the elderly man about his money, his belt. And the elderly man says, I haven't seen any belt. Says, you're lying. You either tell me or I will kill you. The elderly man swears that he has not seen any belt here since he came to the river. The knight insists that the elderly man had stolen his belt, and there was a dispute, an argument between the knight and the elderly. It ended in the knight killing the elderly. And the knight leaves. He takes off. Musa was stunned. Allah, I ask you to show me your justice. This is mere injustice. Someone else took the money. Why this elderly man paid the price? He paid his life for this. Allah says to Musa, don't rush. Don't rush to a judgment. What I know, you don't know. What I see, you don't see. Let me explain to you this. Let me explain to you how my justice works. This knight owes the second man who came, who took the money, he owes him 400 dinars. It's been a while. The man is asking the knight to give him money, his money back. He doesn't. Through my mysterious way, I made that man get back his money from the knight. This elderly man that you think is innocent, in his young age, killed the father of this knight. He was a robber. And he killed the father of this knight. This knight was a young child at the time. Now he grew up. And through my mysterious way, I allowed him to take revenge for his father. This is how Allah's justice works. We believe that whatever Allah does, Allah implements His justice. Now let me go back to the ayah. Allah says that sometime when deviants cross their boundaries so much, Allah's patience has limits. There could be sins that Allah can tolerate and postpone the punishment for it till the day of judgment. But there are certain sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens His punishment in this life before hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah says that وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ I will make them taste the taste of my minor, my small, my minor punishment in this life before hereafter. One of the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to Quran, had punished certain people in the past, in the ancient days, is through hurricanes. Now, can we say what is going on now in Florida is a form of punishment? Also, it's a divine punishment? Well, I really cannot say yes for sure. But what I can tell you is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own ways to implement His justice. And in the old days when people had no mean to resist the hurricane, they had no way to contain the power of the hurricane. Of course, it was a punishment. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I send on them such powerful reeh, wind, a hurricane, that destroyed them in 3 days. So what is going on in Florida, I can't say for sure it is a punishment, but I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes disciplines us. And this is exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes people. This answers the question that I raised in the beginning. Allah doesn't need to punish people. Allah is not a hateful being, does not harbor hatred to anybody. The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes punishes certain people is the same reason a mother punishes her baby or a father punishes his child. Some of you are fathers, parents. And sometime you punish your child, but you don't call it punishment. You call it what? Discipline. You discipline your child. Why you discipline your child? You hate him? No. When your child, when small, your small baby insists to go near the fireplace, you take his hand and make him feel the heat. Why do you do this? Because you're trying to tell him that if you do this unintentionally sometime, or intentionally, you will get into trouble. So I'm warning you. You basically discipline the child. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it to certain people, to discipline them. Because right after this ayah, Allah says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so they may turn back. They may seek repentance. The reason I punish them, not because I enjoy punishing them. I do this so they may wake up. So they may wake up. My dear brothers and sisters, people in this country must wake up for the tremendous deviation and sometimes injustice that take place. I'm always stunned with what I see nowadays in this country. The looseness over the, what is called the homosexual relationship. It is becoming so embarrassing and so out of boundaries that even the religious establishment, the political establishment, are engaging themselves in normalizing this kind of deviation. Now talking about recognizing this kind of marriage in the political institutions of this country. As a matter of fact, there was a discussion the other day, a few days ago, in a weekly program that I have, probably some of you have watched it on Sunday's morning. It's called Interfaith Odyssey. And this particular subject was brought up. And I was stunned that some panelists, people who call themselves men of God, they were talking not as men of God, but men of evil, unfortunately. When they speak about homosexuality and people having their freedom and we're not there to judge anybody, what do you mean by I'm not there to pass judgment on other people? There is wrong and there is right. And it cannot be neutral. You cannot remain neutral between right and wrong. You can't say, I allow people to do whatever they want, and I'm not even here to judge anybody. So why are you there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I had punished some Jewish scholars because they saw deviation before their eyes, but their interest, their personal interest required to remain silent, to keep quiet. And something we can see now. Religious leaders who want to be popular, who don't want to offend their congregations, who don't want to lose their business. Let the gay come to my lecture and listen to my lecture, and let the lesbian come to my lecture and enjoy my lecture, and let me make money out of them, and so what? To hell with them. Let them do whatever they want, as long as I'm maintaining my business. This is the mentality, the dangerous mentality that exists in this country nowadays. Everything is about business. Everything about money. I mentioned something today in my Friday sermon when I was speaking about Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. I said the most powerful lesson Imam Ali alayhi salam taught not only Muslims but the entire world, that he was a principled man. He was a man of a principle. He was politician too, but he wasn't like any other politician. You know, politicians do everything in order to maintain their position or gain a position. They do everything. And you see how nasty it is becoming between Bush and Kerry those days. Accusations and counter-accusations between the two. How nasty it's becoming. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is a man of principle who is not willing, in order to be a popular, he's not willing to sacrifice his principle. He wasn't a man in order to keep his business, if you want to call it that way, and the cost of his principles. Even when his brother asked him for a little bit more money, and Imam Ali alayhi salam has so much discretion. He has open hand, free hand over the treasury of Muslims. He can go and get. Who can ask him? He is the supreme leader of the country. Nobody can ask him. He has the keys to the treasury. Nobody can question Imam Ali if he decided to do that. Imam Ali says, no. He refuses. When his brother insists that you have the key to the treasury, you can give me some more money, I'm in need, Imam Ali alayhi salam takes him to the market. And unlike today, that you need to install alarm system in your store, there wasn't an alarm system. There wasn't even a door or gate for your store. Stores were open at midnight. Any person can go. All they do, they cover them with a sheet. If you leave your store, what you do, you cover your good with a sheet and you go home. Imam Ali alayhi salam takes the hand of his brother Aqil at midnight and he goes to the market. The market is empty, of course. Nobody is there. And Imam says to Aqil, let's rob those stores and get some money. Aqil was stunned. How would Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib would say this to him? قَالَ أَجِئْتُكَ سَارِقًا. Are we robbers? You're asking me to rob those Muslims? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib says, listen, you're refusing to rob a Muslim, and you want me to rob Muslims collectively. You rejected to steal from one Muslim, and you want me to steal from all Muslims. This is a man of a principle. A man who is not willing to sacrifice his principle for his political interest. You know, Aqil says to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, if you don't give me extra cash, what I will do, I will join your enemy, Muawiyah. And I will make a big deal of it. You know, like for example, Senator, what is his name? Zell Miller, who joined the Republican Party, a Democrat, making a big deal of him joining the Republican Party. So he says, I will go to Aqiqat Muawiyah and I will criticize you. And you know how desperate and anxious Muawiyah is to have me in his camp. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib says, اذهب راشدا مهديا. Go ahead. God bless you. You want to do that? Go ahead. You cannot threaten me with that. You cannot make me compromise my faith if you want to join Muawiyah. Go. And he did go. He did go. And Muawiyah was so excited to see the brother of Imam Ali joining him. So one day he says to Muawiyah, to Aqil, Aqil, you go to the podium and you ask people to curse your brother Ali. And he insisted on Aqil to do that. Aqil says, fine. So Aqil goes to the podium and he says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَلَا إِنَّ مُعَاوِيَةَ قَدْ سَأَلَنِي أَنْ أَلْعَنَ عَلِيًّا أَلَا فَالْعَنُوحِ وَأَشَارَ إِلَى مُعَاوِيَةَ. He says, Muawiyah of course is sitting there. He says, Muawiyah had asked me to curse Ali ibn Abi Talib. Please people, curse him. And he referred to Muawiyah. So, I go back to my subject. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah says, if I punish certain people only because I want them to come back, I want them to wake up before it is too late. Because when my wrath, my major wrath comes, which is the Day of Judgment, that's it. You cannot go back. You know, one of the names of the Day of Judgment, يوم الحسرة, وأنذرهم يوم الحسرة. Warn them of the Day of الحسرة, sorrow. All people and regret. People will be regretful. Why they will be regretful? Because then there is no way you can make it up. It's over. I give sometime an example of a cell. Cell, you know, Labor Days, it's sale, there is sale in Circuit City and where else? Do you know any other sale? If you know, let your friends know about it. So, 50% sale, 70% sale. So you come and you tell your friend, you know, I purchase the suit with 70% discount. Your friend says, where? In JCPenney, it was for sale, 70% discount. Why you didn't tell me? Why you didn't tell me when there was sale, 3 days or 4 days sale? You're telling me now? يوم الحسرة. I'm so regretful that I couldn't take advantage of the sale. Allah says, this is the feeling that many people will feel in the Day of Judgment. Because it's too late now. You cannot make up. You cannot change. You cannot change the situation anymore. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. You know, there is a well-known tyrant, Nimrud. Nimrud who built a huge city called Iran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Iram in the Quran. Iram ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. Allah says that Iram, ذات العماد, with huge pillars and stones, he built a magnificent city called Iram. A magnificent city. That Allah says, لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. Never before a city like this has been built. And it is magnificence. So magnificent. So huge. And historically they say, archaeologists, they say it is located in the area between northern Saudi Arabia and south Jordan, southern part of Jordan. That is where Iram was built probably 5,000, 6,000 years ago. That was before the time of Abraham. And the day he was supposed to cut the red ribbon, he was supposed to inaugurate his city, Allah decided to take him. Allah decided to take him, this tyrant. Allah, according to a hadith, Allah one day asks the angel of death, Azrael. Allah says to him, Azrael, you took the soul of many people. Many people. Millions. Did you feel sorry to any of those people? You know, it's an interesting question. That Azrael takes the soul of all people. Of course, according to some ayat, he does not take the soul of all people himself. He takes the soul of certain people himself, and he dispatches his aides to take the soul of others. So he is the senior angel in charge of death. And according to some ahadith, he takes the souls, this is not a joke, seriously. He takes the souls of the big shot. Good people and bad people. Yani, for example, Saddam, he will take his soul. George W. Bush, he will take his soul. Name it. Putin, Jack Chirac, plus Ayatollah X and Y and Z. The big people, the righteous and the wicked, both, he will take their souls. Other people, he will dispatch his aides. So Allah asked him one day, he says, have you felt sorry for any of your client, your customers, people you are supposed to take their soul? He says, yes, I felt sorry twice. When? He says, there was a ship in the ocean, sailing in the ocean, and there was a powerful hurricane that hit the ocean, and the ship flipped, sank, and everybody in that ship died. There were a couple in the ship with their baby. The couple died, and their baby, the six-month baby, survived on a piece of wood remained from the ship. And the mother was trying to catch her son. She couldn't. All she did, she put her baby on a piece of wood and she left him in the ocean just to make sure that probably he will survive. And she died. Very similar to the Titanic movie. When the guy made his girlfriend survive and he died. So he says the waves brought this baby to the shore, and when I took the soul of his parents, I felt sorry for the baby. To see that baby suffering, his parent died, and I felt sorry for him. Allah says, okay, that's one. Where's the second one? He says, the second one, when you decided to take the soul of Namrud, he was about to inaugurate his magnificent city, Iramadat al-Imad. He was so jubilant, excited, after waiting for 20 years for his city to finish. The day he was supposed to inaugurate his city, he was so excited, so happy. You asked me to destroy him and to take his soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Azrael, he says, do you know who that baby was? Azrael says, no, I don't know. Allah says, it was Namrud. That baby you felt sorry for, he was the guy who killed thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people. The baby you felt sorry for, was the same guy who killed and killed and killed till I decided to finish him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests His justice in such mysterious way. So He sent sometime hurricanes to people. For a long time, there is a hadith before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to ruin and destroy Sodom. And you know what Sodom is. Sodom is the city in which homosexuals were practicing their homosexuality. And it is mentioned in the Torah and it is mentioned in the Quran. The hadith says before Allah decided to ruin and destroy the city, Allah says to Jibreel, He says, leave them. It was midnight. Leave them. Probably one guy would wake up now at midnight and do prayer for me so I may forgive him and them because of him. Give them some more time. I have been so patient with those people. Give them some more time. So probably one will wake up, will ask for my repentance. He will seek for my repentance. Because of him, I will forgive him and I will forgive them. Give them some more time. Ibrahim, Jibreel is waiting, looking at his watch, waiting the order from Allah. When it was dawn and there was no hope at all that one man or one woman would wake up and ask for repentance, Allah says, go ahead and finish them. That's it. وَلَنَذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So they may return. I want to discipline them. I don't want to see them suffering in the day of judgment. So sometime I send my wrath on them so they may wake up. They may say, enough is enough. And let me... My dear brothers and sisters, I say this, and I'm concluding now. I say this to be a lesson for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us many opportunities. And Allah is so patient with us. Let us not ruin our chances. There are some people who ruin their chances. You know, sometime, some friend, young adults come to me, and they say to me, we did this in the past, and we did this in the past, and we did that. And we're asking, is there any way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive us? Yes. Allah does. Allah always opens His door for us. Always. If you're sincere, the good thing about our beautiful faith, you don't need to go to anybody to confide Him with your secret or your sins. All you need to do is to confide Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At midnight you wake up, you do your salah and you tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you did. And you ask Him for istighfar. He does forgive you. And He erases everything you did. He deletes everything in your file. Nothing at all. أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Allah says, those people who seek repentance with me, I will turn their sins into hasana. No more bad record in their record. I take them. I embrace them. But my dear brothers and sisters, don't take a chance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forgives and forgives and forgives. There is a hadith says there are 40 layers. There are 40 layers of a protection. Every time a Muslim sins, he breaks one layer. Then remains 39. And then, every time you sin and you don't seek for repentance, you are breaking one more layer till you get to the final one. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would finish off with you. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to take this as a lesson for ourselves. It is the month of Rajab. And I said the other week that the theme of Rajab and Sha'ban is to prepare for what? For Ramadan. To prepare us psychologically and physically. Physically how? When you fast, you know there are some people when they fast, the first day they fast, they experience migraine. Have anybody experienced that? I usually experience this. Because when you have a certain routine in your life and you change it, all of a sudden, this will cause you, for those who have migraine, this will trigger the migraine in their body. This happens only the first and probably the second day. But in the third day, you are in the right track. So psychologically fasting in Ramadan and in Rajab will prepare you to have a smoother transition in the month of Ramadan, physically. And psychologically, it is not only about keeping your stomach void of any food. That's not the theme of fasting. It is how to focus your mind on obeying Allah. And last week, I mentioned, I said obedience, and I gave an example. I said obedience mean example. I gave an example. I said being obedient like a dog being obedient to his master. And someone came and said, Sayyidina, why did you use that example? I said, I was accurate in that. I didn't mean, God forbid, to offend anybody. But I was trying to get that concept so close to your mind. That Allah wants us to obey Him blindly and gratefully. I said when a dog obeys his master, he doesn't feel that he is doing his master any favor. As a matter of fact, he feels his master is doing him a favor by allowing him to serve his master. This is how we should perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life. When we obey Him, we should not feel that we are doing Him as if we are doing Him a favor. We are doing ourselves a favor. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, and I finish with this. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says, إِلَهِ كَفَانِي عُزًّا أَنْ أَكُونَ لَكَ عَبْدًا وَكَفَانِي فَخْرًا أَنْ تَكُونَ لِي رَبًّا. Imam Ali says, it is so honor for me. It's a big honor for me to be your slave. It's a big honor for me to be your slave. And it's a huge pride for me that you would be my Lord. Believe me, if we reflect on this statement, it's so powerful. كَفَانِي عَزًّا أَنْ أَكُونَ لَكَ عَبْدًا. You know, because glory and honor goes against slavery. Usually, historically, slaves have no honor. They have been violated. They have been humiliated throughout the history. And that has been the case. But Imam Ali says, with you, when I become your slave, I achieve the highest level of honor and glory. And that's why every day when we finish, when we conclude our salah, before our taslim, what do we say? We say, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I bear witness that Muhammad is Allah as a slave and messenger. Slave. We honor our Prophet by testifying for him that he is the slave of Allah. He is the slave of Allah. Because this is the biggest honor a human being can have before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you so much, my dear brothers and sisters. And forgive me if I took longer than I should. May Allah bless you all and bless us all and guide us toward His right path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.